You're listening to season 4 of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Merit Ansa, and this show exists to help you step over whatever is holding you back from all that God created you for. You know, the more I talk to women about their dreams, the more I hear the echoes of fear, imposter syndrome, of who am I to do this? Or somebody else is already doing it or could do it better than me. I recognize those voices because I've wrestled with them too. But I'm here to tell you that you cannot let the voices win because you are a daughter of the King. God created you with a purpose, one that's unique to you. And he put those dreams in your heart for a reason. Sure, it's scary. Yeah, you might even fail, but you also might learn something and then pick yourself up and lock arms with your community and keep taking the next step. That's why we're here, and it's what this podcast is all about. And I pray today's episode will provide exactly what you need to keep moving forward toward the dream God has put on your heart. You'll always find the show notes for each episode on my website at meritansa.com/podcast. And there will be more later in the show about how to connect with me and the Devoted Dreamers tribe. But now, here's today's episode. Hello, Devoted Dreamers, and welcome to the podcast. This is episode 81, and it's the beginning of March. How did that happen? I'm so excited today to introduce you to Beth Bruno. She was introduced to me just recently by Dorothy Greco, who was on the podcast a season or two back. But this is going to be a great one, especially for you moms out there that have daughters. So get excited and grab a cup of coffee or whatever it is you need to just settle in and listen today. Let me tell you a little bit about Beth. She's the parent of a 17, a 14, and an 11-year-old. She's a writer and a speaker, a director of a nonprofit. And the focus of that nonprofit is preventing domestic minor sex trafficking. And she speaks regularly to students, to law enforcement, educators and community groups around this topic of sexual exploitation. And we've been talking about this a lot on the podcast. It seems like this topic keeps coming up like once a month. So this is something that God is putting in front of us, and I feel like asking us to pay attention to. So I'm so excited to have Beth here. Her first book is called A Voice Becoming, A Year-Long Mother-Daughter Journey into Passionate Purpose Living. It was released on January 16th, and Beth is a member of the Redbud Writers Guild and a regular contributor for Red Tent Living, and she writes for other various online publications. So, Beth, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here and just grateful to Dorothy for making that introduction. This is going to be a really fun conversation, I think.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so can you just kick us off talking about the dream that God's given you and kind of where that originated?
Well, my dream right now is to spark a mother-daughter movement that changes the world, basically. I really want to activate women and in turn, their daughters to link arms with our global sisters around the world and just bring the fullness of who we are to God's kingdom in all the myriad ways that he will lead us. So that's, you know, that comes from discovering my own passion and living into that and seeing the impact of that on my own two girls. It comes from having lived overseas and experienced various realities that women around the world face, and realizing that here in America, we have a responsibility. We have such a privilege, and yet our sisters around the world do not in so many different ways and places. And so how can we just join together and really be a force to reckon with around the world? for God's glory. So that's kind of the dream right now that God has placed on my heart. Mm-hmm. And I'm just excited to see how that unfolds and how the book is a part of that and all and everything.
Well, I'm super excited to talk about your book, but I just have to say that what you just said about women around the world and the realities that they face in their lives, and I've been thinking about that so much lately, how every week I talk to basically American women who are following their God-shaped dreams, and there are women all over who, because of oppression or violence in their lives or whatever their situations are, couldn't even fathom having a dream they might be able to live for. So it's been convicting to me to be like, oh yeah, this is not how everybody lives. Mm-hmm. And I've wanted to talk to somebody about this topic. So can you talk about what you, like, where you've lived? You said you've lived overseas, and then the kind of things that you've seen that I guess inspired the writing of this book and this movement.
Sure. Well, we lived in the Middle East for about in and out for about 10 years. We were in Istanbul, and that kind of flattened my world quite a bit because we were working with other internationals and cultures. We kind of led a multicultural team, and we worked alongside of the Turkish church and had Turkish coworkers and friends, and it was just such an intermingling of world that it really flattened the world for me, flattened the globe for me. As you know, women from Turkey became some of my heroines, and I saw God at work in their lives in the same way that He was at work in, you know, my American friends' lives. And so that began a process for me of seeing we are all the same. We have the same dreams and fears and hurdles and parenting struggles and marriage struggles and joys and pains. Like, we're just so similar. And that should not surprise us, right? If we were created in God's image, surely we're going to see some inherent qualities that we all exhibit as women. And it should transcend culture and language and even time. We should see some of those same intrinsic qualities from historical women and women all over the place. So that was the beginning, living in that kind of a setting. And then when we transitioned back to the States, my husband and I both went to grad school, and I pursued a degree in international community development, which was life-changing. It completely destroyed me. It was kind of a study in all the things that are wrong right now in the world. Wow. I mean, it was just an in-depth look at so many of the global issues and a lot of the things that, like, the Millennial Development Goals were focused on. And then at the same time, looking at incredible work that was happening in around those issues, the various nonprofits and local leaders who were addressing those problems from their own community, from their own resources. And so we really looked at, rather than the West coming in a savior mentality, what does real transformational development look like? How do we walk alongside of our brothers and sisters in these communities and listen to them and yield to what they want and what they think will be best for their community? And that was the beginning for me of realizing, okay, that's it. That's what we need as American women who want to engage the world, is we need to just come alongside and rally around, but listen and yield to what our sisters think will be best. And so that's shaped really the last 7 years as I have been in my own nonprofit development and just learning more about great organizations around the world. I've been looking for ones that are focused on real community empowerment. So that's kind of the background of part for Global Sisters. did that answer that question?
Yeah. And then are you going into where did the book come from?
Well, that's kind of okay. So we'll table that
idea
just a moment.
Okay.
And I'll put on my mom hat, and just the reality of our family. So while we were in grad school, my husband was studying to become a counselor, and the focus of most everything he had to write about and speak about was on masculinity. And so I would say he's kind of an expert in all things man. And, you know, not that he's like this manly man, but that has become the focus of his study and research and his counseling practice. And our oldest child is a boy. So when our son started to reach adolescence and was about to turn 12, my husband, through all of his research and studying, knew that he needed to be incredibly intentional, that boys don't just become men. They are made into men by other men. And so he is the one that first started to craft this idea of a year-long kind of rites of passage journey and modeled it for me. And it turned into a book as well. And so here are my girls just watching what is unfolding for their older brother. Mm-hmm. And there was a very clear expectation that they would have something similar. Mm-hmm. So there's that as a backdrop to raising girls and trying to figure out, well, what does that look like? If here's all this research and stuff out there for boys and rites of passage around boys, but what is there for girls? And how do I help them become the strong women that I want them to become? And the more I looked into different programs and books and talked with a lot of different women, I even created a survey at one point to just gather thoughts of various women. I just found that what was out there felt a little insufficient for the reality of what our girls are facing today. Mm-hmm. And so some of that comes from my work in high schools in prevention education around sex trafficking. And so I hear the conversations. I see the victims. I see the girls that end up being exploited. And I hear the commonality. And so much of it originates from the same place. It doesn't matter if you had a chaotic home or if there was drug involvement or you ran away. The core problem is misplaced heart longings and filling those with other things. And that is shared across the board. It doesn't matter if a girl's involved in youth group and comes from a Christian home or is in foster care and running away, right? The common need that our girls are experiencing is to be loved and to find love and to fit in and belong. And when they are replacing or filling those needs with all the wrong things, they're easily vulnerable to exploitation. So I'm looking at this among the girls that I see and my own girls and their friends, and I'm thinking there's got to be something bigger and better that we are calling them to, mm-hmm. that some of the offerings in the church just didn't seem to touch on. They're facing just a lot of crazy stuff. I think we all know that the youth today are facing some crazy things, and we're going to combat that and give them a bigger vision to live for. We're going to have to do a whole lot more than just, one special weekend or just talking about their period or just, giving them a purity ring. A lot of the things that we do that I'm not saying are bad, but that can't be all, because our girls have too much to overcome to reach, their full glory, that we need to cast an enormous vision. So that's percolating, and then all this stuff with my son is out there. And so I just realized I'm going to have to create it and design this intentional year for my daughter as well. And that became A Voice Becoming, a year-long mother-daughter journey into passionate, purposed living. So that's the book, is the actual year that I spent with my daughter, and then all that I realized as a woman in that process, and really trying to help women engage their own story so that they can, in a healthy and powerful way, call their daughter to live into hers.
Wow. I'm speechless and love this. as you're talking, I mean, yeah, I grew up in a really different time, but there was a lot of the same stuff. I mean, what you just talked about, the heart issue, that need to be loved and looking for that in all the wrong places. And if you don't have someone to guide you out of that, how could you live any differently? And what a beautiful dream. I'm loving this so much. So, and you, let's see, is it your 14-year-old or currently 14-year-old that you went through this with originally?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you've got another one coming up.
I do. She turns 12 in May and I will be starting the whole process over again.
Okay. So is 12 like that perfect age, or how did you come to that?
I think if there is an ideal age, that's what I tell women. And that's for a couple different reasons. That's when the majority of our girls' bodies start to go through significant change. And mm-hmm. so there's a ton of questions and insecurity and just feeling kind of out of touch with themselves. And I think as moms, we want to preempt most of the conversations that they're going to be having with their peers. And so that's a perfect time frame. And then there's so much cultural hype around our girls becoming teenagers and turning 13. And so to capture or to capitalize on that hype and excitement and doing something really special, I think makes that year ideal for that reason as well. And honestly, I saw so much change and maturity occur in my daughter's life that year. So she was a sixth grader, and then most of it occurred during her seventh grade year. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. By the time our girls are in eighth grade, they're completely different creatures than they were in sixth grade. So spending that kind of quality, intentional time as a mother-daughter in that in-between, I think is so important. Now, having said that, I have a lot of moms asking me with, regret, what if she's over 13, or, what if now she's out of the house and mm-hmm. have I missed the boat? Is it entirely too late? And I would say to that, absolutely not. That there's no harm ever in being incredibly intentional with our daughters. And I write about in the book, even the role of my mom and the experience she had joining us in various ways, and how she realized even for herself that she was still in the process of becoming. And so my heart in the book is that really women of all ages and generations can really engage our stories and engage what God has for us through what I designed. And so for that reason, I don't think that any mom has ever missed the boat.
That's encouraging. Or at least I hope it's encouraging to the listener out there who had that very question. So,
yes.
Obviously, we need to get the book, but can you give a little bit, like an example or a little bit of insight of something that we might discover in there that mm-hmm. Would make us want to continue reading and learn more?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about how it's set up, because it was a challenge, honestly.
I'm sure.
To figure out how to not only design it for one child, but then, structure it for women to benefit from. But I decided to frame the year around God's questions to Hagar. So Hagar, the maidservant of Abram and Sarai, who becomes, the surrogate mother of Ishmael, and she runs away after being abused by Sarai, and then encounters God at the well. And he says to her, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" And those two questions have just haunted me. And I felt like those are just perfect questions to ask our daughters to help them answer, or at least begin to find answers for. Where have you come from starts off our year. That is our launch event, launching question. And I write about, where did she enter the family narrative? Whether she was, came from the womb as a biological child, or came on a plane as an adoptive child, at what point did she enter into the family narrative? And how do we help her ground her in the family story so that she has a strong sense of that. Because a year later, when we conclude with, where are you going? We want her to be ready and free to ask that, how do I enter into the story God is writing through my life? Mm-hmm. And so that kind of frames the year. And I talk about a launching kind of experience, something special that marks the beginning, and then a special kind of legacy experience at the end that clearly says to her, this is it. And now I'm welcoming you into womanhood. I'm inviting you into kind of the sisterhood of, mm-hmm. of women. And then in between, I kind of took the year and divided it into five chunks around aspects of women that I believe reflect God and were ones that I could see in my own life and in the lives of women, again, throughout culture and throughout time. And so for me, those were women love, women lead, women fight, women create, and women sacrifice. And around about 2 months per category, we looked at various books that were current or some that were historical. We watched films, again, some that were just releasing in the theater and some that were older. We tried to do some sort of kind of tangible experience. And at various times, I involved my husband as well, and he would do something special or unique with her, all trying to get at that theme. So for instance, Women Lead, during that time, Malala came to town. She came to Denver, and we went down and had the privilege of hearing her speak. And it was such a beautiful example of how women lead. And they lead by using their skills and talents for the benefit of another. And so Malala's story of, you know, fighting for girls' education, not only in her little area in Pakistan, but now around the world, was a great illustration of that bigger theme that I was trying to teach my daughter. And so those were the sorts of things that we would do throughout the year. And I think the year was so important because kids have a brief attention span, right? I mean, right. 15, 20 minutes is about the extent of their ability to engage in depth, I think. That's what I have found. So I needed it to just percolate. You know, we needed to come in and out of those conversations over a period of time so that it could really sink in and become more meaningful for her. I think just had we shortened that or done just a thing or two per experience and moved on to the next, it just would not have saturated her soul as much as it ended up doing. Mm. That's kind of the structure of the book. And I'm hoping that that's helpful, not just to replicate. You know, I talk about, I did not set out to create another program. I really wanted to create a new paradigm of thinking. I wanted to help women think differently about intentionally transitioning their girls to women. And so it's not prescriptive. I'm hoping that moms take creative license and move forward on, you know, in ways that are special and meaningful to them and their daughter and don't feel like it's this thing that they need to replicate. But I did hope, you know, I wanted to create a scaffolding at the same time, something that could really launch moms into this and make it feel doable for them.
Yeah. I like that word scaffolding. It's supportive and it's a structure, but it's not too much.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm hitting pause on the interview for just a second so I can tell you a little bit about Patreon. I've just launched my page, and this is a great way for you to get more involved with the Devoted Dreamers podcast and express your confidence and support for helping women find the strength, courage, and camaraderie we all need to pursue our God-shaped dreams. And no matter what you personally decide about giving to my Patreon campaign, I will continue to interview amazing women who will encourage us all because this is my passion. I so love introducing you to women who are following their God-shaped dreams, mostly so that you might do the same. But If you've gotten incredible value from these interviews, I would love to invite you to consider becoming a patron of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. You can find my page at patreon.com/devoteddreamerspodcast. There you can read and listen to a video about why I'm doing all of this and hear all the benefits of getting more involved in the show. One of those things is a patron feed on the site where you can access early release content and additional perks as a thank you for choosing to get more involved as a loyal friend and follower of the podcast. This is special content just for you if you choose to be a patron. My goal here is to really build a community because I needed encouragement to follow my dream, and I know that you do too. So I hope you'll consider getting involved. Check it out over at patreon.com/devoteddreamerspodcast. I'm curious if you were to go back and ask yourself, you know, 5 or 10 years ago about this project, do you think your younger self would be surprised that this is the path that God had you on?
Hindsight's 2020, right?
Sure.
Knowing what I know about myself now, it's no surprise at all. I see all the threads of who I have been for the last 30 years coalescing in this book. But did I have a book in mind 10 years ago? Did I think I was capable of writing a book 10 years ago? No, not at all. Even though when I consider, you know, all the signs that have always been there, I should not be surprised at all, right? And I think that's probably how we all are.
What have been some of the greatest challenges for you personally as you've kind of walked through this season of bringing this dream to life?
You know, living into writing has been a journey. My husband and I went into full-time ministry, and we moved to Turkey because it was the largest unreached nation in the world. And that felt, you know, so compelling, as if there was nothing else we ought to be doing with our lives. That was the biggest calling. And it was there actually that I took a personality test and discovered, I'm a creative. Like, that's actually a thing that has a number attached to it. And it's really, really high for me. And that was the first time I had ever named that I was a creative. And again, not surprising. I was already writing. I was already decorating every space we were ever in. I was already creating elaborate meals. But I had never allowed that to be something, you know, I could actually pursue, right? Ministry was the only thing worth pursuing. And that was 10 years ago. And since then, it's been a process of stepping into that. That's actually how God has created me to be and to live out my actual work and calling through a creative lens is a beautiful thing. It's not a lesser thing. So that was a huge challenge personally for me to work through and begin to name. And I remember it was about 5 years ago that I joined a writer's guild, and it was the first time I'd ever called myself a writer. And that was also huge. And it felt embarrassing. I felt like a fraud. Who was I to just decide I'm going to call myself a writer? And it's been a long process since then to really own that and let that be the way that God's glory shines through me, and not struggle with thinking, but it's less than the nonprofit I'm leading to fight human trafficking, or it's less than the ministry of evangelism and discipleship we used to do, or it's less than women's ministry at church. You know, it's just creative, and just push those thoughts aside and not believe them any longer, and certainly not allow them to rule my life because I don't believe they're true at all. But it's been a journey. It's been a struggle to work through that.
Yeah, I think what you said about who am I mean, that's such a common, I feel that in my own
itself. And I hear that from a lot of other women. That's just that nasty voice of the enemy pointing us in a different direction so that we might get distracted from who God made us to be. So thank you for helping normalize that we all wrestle with some of that stuff, and we've got to figure out how to push it aside. So how has God met you in that? And kind of, you talked about this a little bit, but just brought you into this place of courageously pursuing this dream.
I think taking steps in that direction in faith and then seeing him catch me. You know, the first step was to leave ministry and to leave our overseas, you know, assignment. And that felt enormous. We were language ready. We were leading a huge team. It felt like we were at the height of our careers. Mm-hmm. And to walk away because we felt God was leading us, it felt foolish in the eyes of, you know, our Christian community. Didn't make sense on paper to take that kind of a risk in our mid-30s to start over with three kids and just, you know, pursue grad school. It all felt so foolish and risky. And yet taking that step of faith was the beginning of watching God show himself to us and show us more of ourselves to us. And in that, living more freely, living with more joy, discovering what passion really is and what it looks like to live out of our passion and to just learn more about the unique ways he's created all of us and how he needs all of us to reflect his glory in this world. And it doesn't just look like, you know, the one path we had chosen. So it was a daily process of trusting and then watching him show up and trusting and watching him show up. And like I said, it's been years. It's been a journey over years, but it's just been beautiful to see where he's led us.
So the takeaway from that is to be patient and watch for what he's doing.
And to take that risky step.
Yeah.
I don't think that, you know, risky in the eyes of the world does not equate risky to God. And to take those steps, even if they feel foolish, is sometimes, it is the most courageous thing we'll ever do, but it's oftentimes the most fulfilling.
Yeah. So is there a verse of scripture that you're really connecting to and leaning into right now for where you are right now?
Yeah, I've just been praying Hebrews 13:21 that God would equip me with everything good for doing his will and the work that he's called me to, that it would be pleasing to him and would bring him glory. You know, I'm in a new place with a new book and learning what that means to be an author, and just praying that he would equip me for all of these next steps and all of these new firsts and all of, like I shared at the beginning, my dream for activating women in this kind of global movement. I don't know what that looks like. I just have this sense inside that that's what's next. And so just praying that God would prepare me for what is needed.
That's helpful, though, too, to kind of see you in the middle of that question. I talk to a lot of people that may be, you know, at the beginning or at the end, but to be in the middle and just be like, okay, I'm just going to wait and trust and believe that whatever he's got is going to come when it's time. And you've got a description of it, so you'll probably know it when it gets there.
Right. I'll recognize it, hopefully.
Well, I want to pause for a second, and you had given me the name of your friend, Tawny Johnson, who you said has been a cheerleader for you in this journey, and I have a little message for you from her, so I'll share that with you.
Hi, I'm Tani Johnson, Senior Literary Agent for D.C. Jacobson & Associates, and I am happy to tell you all of how inspiring Beth Bruno has been for me as I have come alongside her on this crazy journey of book publishing. It is always great to partner with strong women who know the vision God has instilled in them and has the courage to walk one foot in front of the other towards the mission of inspiring other women. The process of getting your book published is definitely not for the faint of heart. And speaking of heart, that's the one thing that I sensed right away with Beth, her compassion, her dogged focus, her willingness to instruct and touch lives in the midst of her own vulnerabilities and her own strengths. It has been a privilege to watch Beth see her dream of publishing a book come true and see how God will use A Voice Becoming to help so many mothers and daughters connect, transform, and expand. Beth, your heart for women, those who are safe, and those who need rescue has inspired me. And I am thrilled to have played a very small part in transferring your vision to a publisher who will take your words and God's heart to those who need it. I'm looking forward to linking arms again on this journey as you continue to extend your vision and challenge all of us to expand our hearts. Thank you, Beth, for inspiring me.
I love that.
That is precious to me. Thank you.
And she's your agent. I said friend earlier, but she's your book agent.
Oh, she became a friend. And you know that so many phone calls, so many just back and forth conversations in the birthing process. She became my friend and cheerleader and just champion and agent. Yes.
And I mean, that is so important that we don't, I mean, none of us really walks these roads alone, but to have somebody, and you probably have more than one somebody, but you know, somebody to be by your side and to, just kind of help talk you off the ledge maybe when you're like, I'm not sure about this. Did you have some of that in this whole process?
For sure. You know, people who just pushed me, kept me going. I would say the being a part of a writer's guild has been that for me. There's, you know, 100 women in our guild that have been cheerleaders and have talked me through seasons of discouragement and celebrated through seasons of success. And that's been huge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, thanks for sharing her with me so that I could get to hear how you've been an encouragement to her. So
that's beautiful.
Well, my next question is just about what advice you would give to the listener who's out there and, you know, maybe still 10 or 5 years from being in this place where she knows, yes, this is what God created me for. What would you say to her?
Mm-hmm. I would say starting to become more aware of yourself is the beginning. To notice what brings you to tears, what makes you angry. What do you find yourself willing to sacrifice time and money to see change? And those are all the beginnings. Those are the threads of discovering your passion and how God has wired you. And that's obviously going to look so different for each woman. But those early inklings, you know, I encourage women, write those down. Start some sort of log or process journal that just begins to take notes of discovering those things. I think as believers, we have responded to the love of Jesus, and he has made us and enabled us to love others. And our greatest calling is to identify who are those others that we are called to love. Mm. Who are they? Where are they? What situation are they in? You know, some people call that your people, your place, and your purpose. But to just begin to ask God, who might those people be for me? What might that passion look like for me? And trust him to provide answers in his time.
Yeah, I love that. Well, can you talk a little bit too about any resources that have been helpful, books, things that you've engaged with along this journey?
Mm-hmm. I write about in the book everything I've learned about our story and finding and naming our story. I've probably learned through Dr. Dan Allender, who has written numerous books, and he's the founding president of the Seattle School of Theology and Psychology, which is where my husband studied. But my favorite of his books on the topic of story is To Be Told. And it's a very accessible primer, I would say, on figuring out the story that your life tells. And, there's a workbook that goes with it, and it would be a great resource for women to start with if they're, just starting to wonder what their passion might be, what they might be, designed and wired to be. So love that book, Dan Allender's To Be Told. I also love Brené Brown. And I think she gets story right. And Rising Strong is probably my favorite of hers. And again, I think her most accessible to kind of the average person to begin to think through your story. And when I talk about what makes you angry, she does a great job of helping women identify like that trigger or that crazy emotional outburst or that horrible reaction. Let's look at the underlying story that might be percolating just beneath the surface. And let's begin to go deeper and figure out why we are the way we are. She does a great job of that.
That's awesome. And you mentioned earlier that you took a personality test that helped you kind of put the word creative on yourself. Do you know which one that was?
It was an extensive one that our company facilitated for me. I just remember like hundreds of pages of results, but I think it was called the Berkman. B-I-R-K-M-A-N. Since then, I've enjoyed learning more about the Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, and I'm reading a book right now by Ann Bogle called Reading People. And it's kind of a summary of the 9 most well-known personality tests and kind of an overview, like an introduction to them. So that you might want to, if one really resonates, you could go and take that test and find out more about that particular one. And so that's, again, I like accessible books, just things that women can pick up and read and relate to, and it doesn't feel too heady and too narrow. And so hers is a great resource for personality, Reading People by Ann Bogle.
Sweet. Okay. I will include all of that in the show notes for anybody who wants to reference those. And then please tell us, how can we find your book, A Voice Becoming?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's available everywhere books are sold and local bookstores like your Barnes & Noble. So you can order it now. It's on audio as well. And I am the reader.
So you are?
My voice.
Sweet. That's awesome.
Which was a fun process.
Oh, that's great. I know a lot of people out there do audiobooks, so that's great. Thanks for mentioning that. And then some other ways that a listener could get involved and connect with you. Tell us a little bit about those.
Well, I have a Facebook group called A Voice Becoming, and that's a space where I just hope women can come and engage and share experiences and questions and ideas. It's where I want to build the tribe that will help women think about becoming champions for our global sisters and doing so alongside their daughters. So one of the fun things that I worked on just before the book released was developing a few kind of curated partnerships with organizations that are kind of enacting what I talked about, championing community led movements, but doing so in specific ways that connect to things we talked about in her becoming year and things I write about in the book. And so those 3 partnerships I've kind of written up in a guide to global sisterhood, and it's a way for talking points for moms to talk through big, hard issues with their girls, and then tangible action steps to take through these three partnerships. So it's really a beautiful opportunity, and it's a way for me to provide more concrete ideas that I kind of hope to stir up in the book. And so that guide is available as a free download in the group, in the Facebook group of Voice Becoming. And again, that's the space where I want to just really start talking more about all of this with like-minded women. So I encourage women to come join that group.
Okay, I'm going to go find it when we get off the call. I also wanted to give you a second. So this episode is launching on March 7th. And tomorrow, March 8th, is International Women's Day. So can you talk a little bit about what you're hoping to do for that?
Yeah, so this is a great day to go join that group, because tomorrow we'll be doing some live video streaming in the group, and hopefully talking with some women who are living in different parts of the world, maybe it's with one of these partnerships, definitely talking about some specific ways to engage your girls on a day like that, just really highlighting what's going on around the world. So you won't want to miss what we're going to be talking about in the Facebook group tomorrow.
And I have to ask, is the Facebook group also, I guess, relevant to a daughter, that like a teen or preteen? Would you want those young girls in there, or is this really just for moms?
You know, what I have picked up is that girls that age are no longer on Facebook.
That's an excellent point. I've heard this too. So it doesn't matter. They can't even access it.
I don't think they would even come.
Okay.
But that's a great point. And, you know, perhaps down the road, we can start doing some stuff in Instagram or through Snapchat and engage more girls, talking about that with other girls. But for right now, I'm focused on empowering moms as they start reading A Voice Becoming.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I'm excited to see you in there. Okay. So this has been really fun. I've loved talking to you, hearing about your dream, hearing how it's unfolded over the years and the ways that it has. Can you just help us kind of close this conversation with sharing how this experience has changed you?
Mm-hmm. I think there's so much power in becoming more aware of our own story and then naming it and then writing it. And so even though this is so much of my story and with my daughter, the process of naming it and writing it was transformative for me. And to be able to put language around things that, you know, I already believed or was already doing, but to articulate that in a way that I needed to teach my daughter, but now in a way that I'm talking about it with other women, it's just been huge. And I find that, you know, that's why I reference To Be Told. There is something truly sacred about naming and writing our stories. I think we enter into holy ground when we start to mine for truth and look for God in between the lines of our own stories, in the same way that we do in scripture when we're reading between the lines of verses and mining for truth and looking for God. I think he wants us to do that in our own lives and with our own stories. And so the process of doing that for me through writing a book was a holy experience. And I miss it, actually. I miss it because it was a time with the Lord that was truly special, that process of writing.
If you have ever wondered what God might do with your story, this was the episode for you. I'm still struggling to put into words all the things mulling around in my head following this incredible conversation with Beth. I loved what she said about the importance of becoming aware of our own story. Probably because I agree with her, just thinking of my own story. And even if you're not the writer type, getting those words out on paper and seeing what God has brought you through and is making of your life will, I think, provide a ton of clarity if you're still trying to figure out your own God-shaped dream. There's lots of other takeaways, as I mentioned. I'm still mulling things, but here are three things that come to mind from this episode. So number one, those questions she mentioned towards the end. What brings you to tears? What stirs you to sacrifice time and money? Who are the people you feel passionate about or defensive for? Finding out what wrecks your heart is absolutely the path to discovering your God-shaped dream. So even if you don't write out your whole story, maybe just ponder, pray about, write down your answers to those questions. And then number two, that even though Beth's 10 years ago self would have been surprised to learn that a book was in her future, that there's no doubt looking back that this dream is what God was brewing within her. And that reminds me to trust the path he has me on, and that none of our stories are wasted. I think there is someone out there that needed to hear that today, that none of your story is wasted, that God is going to use it all for his purpose and his glory and your good. And then takeaway number three, the immense value of being intentional with our children, and that we do this for them. But I think we also do this for us as parents too, because it's so easy to go through our day-to-day lives of carpools and meals and, you know, getting dressed and getting where we need to go. And we miss these opportunities with our kids if we don't plan to be intentional. So the alternative is to plan for what's to come and prepare them the best we're able. I just kept thinking about that over and over again. Like, what would it look like to set aside a year, to have a calendar of intentional choices of things I want to do to help grow my daughter closer to the Lord? So I'm still obviously I got a lot going on about this episode, and I would love to hear what's rolling around in your head following this conversation. In fact, a great place to do that is over in the Devoted Dreamers Facebook group. So would you come on in and share your thoughts about this week's show, what you loved about the conversation with Beth, what it made you think about, even if you don't have daughters or, like me, a daughter of the age that it would be relevant to kind of talk about some of this future life stuff. But I would love to have you join in the conversation already going on there. You can find us on Facebook in the Devoted Dreamers Insiders group. And if you are enjoying the podcast, would you share it with a friend today? I'm sure there is someone you know that this particular episode could be helpful to. You can easily do that inside your podcast app, either iTunes or whatever your Android app is. You can just click on those three little dots in the top right-hand corner while you're listening to this episode, or just share it on social media, or share something that I've shared on social media, or tell someone in person. But it's your personal recommendations that are going to help this show grow. And I so appreciate it every time you do, because the podcast is growing and I know you're a part of that. So thank you. And if you haven't already, would you please go rate and review the show on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts? It would help the women who need the show to find it, maybe the ones that aren't your friends. So my goal is to get 50 reviews by the end of the season, which is at the end of May. So I would love it if you would stop right now and help me do that by leaving a rating or a review. You're going to find the show notes for this episode at meritonsa.com/podcast/81. And there you can also connect with Beth, find a link to her Facebook group for A Voice Becoming, as well as all the resources she mentioned in the conversation. And if you're listening to this on March 7th, remember she's planning some live events in her Facebook group for tomorrow, International Women's Day. So jump on into her group when you're done here. Finally, I want to give another shout out to the earliest patrons of the Devoted Dreamers podcast, Bree Uten, Jasmine Reichling, and Elizabeth Henry. All three contributed on my Patreon page at patreon.com/devoteddreamerspodcast at the $20 or higher level. Ladies, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And to everyone else who's contributed, it's been such a thrill to see your support coming in each month as you show up to advocate for women and their God-shaped dreams. You all are amazing. Thanks to Komaku, who provided the ad music for this episode. And that's it for today. Thank you so much again for joining me for this conversation. And wherever you are with your God-shaped dreams, may you have the courage to take one step toward their realization today. I'll see you next week.